I'd like to start this evening with a verse in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Children of Israel had been in Egypt. They were slaves. Didn't have to do much thinking for themselves. The Egyptians thought for them. Tomorrow morning you're going to get up. You're going to make some more bricks for us. You're going to do some slave labor. But then God delivered them. Set them free, and he said, I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. This is going to be totally different for you. But you know, he, along with that, he said, I want you to beware. There's a danger in what's about to happen to you. And this is one of those reminders. You know, one of those, he was telling them, he said, you're fixing to come into a land where I'm going to give you houses that you did not build. You're going to get vineyards that you did not plant. And there's going to be something that's a danger for you. It's going to be real easy for your heart to get lifted up and you feel like, you know what, I was the one that did this. Don't let it happen. So here in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the Lord has given them, God has given them some laws to follow. And they're soon going to be in the Canaan land. And so he says this in the 6th verse. These words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now that's some verses right there. I want to make sure that you don't forget the instruction that I've been giving you. I want you to teach it to your children when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lay down, when you get up. If you need to, bind it as a sign on your hand where every time you look at your hand, instead of looking at the watch, you're looking at a scripture that God has given you for direction in your life. Frontlets between your eyes. Right here in front of me, I can see some more of the Word of God giving me instruction for what I need to do. You know, we're living in a time today where if we're not careful, we can be like the 10 virgins. We know the end is coming, just don't know when it is. And it is so easy for us to get distracted, just like it was going to be easy for them to get distracted. Moving into these houses, got these vineyards. Now I got a lot of things to take care of. And I start forgetting the Word of God, the directions that he's given me for my life. And so he's given them all these. Whatever you have to do, keep the Word of God right in front of you all the time. And as over the last few services, we've been talking about eternity. You know, I feel like we need to do the same thing. Whatever it takes, I need to let the Word of God be right here in front of me, easily accessed. It's down in my heart. It's what I think about through the day. You know, really, I could take 2019 and put these same scriptures, and I believe they'd be a warning for us today. Whatever you got to do, if you need to write it on your hand, if you need to put it on a sign right in front of your eyes, if you need to write it on your gate when you're going to walk through, if you need to write it on the doorpost, have it to where you can remember the scriptures. And as I was thinking about what we've been talking about for the last few days, there are some scriptures that I feel like are going to be real important for me to take into my own life over the next period of time, however long it takes. Folks, you know what? If time had not extended so long, there would have been 10 virgins ready for the wedding, because they all had a lamp that was burning at one time. It was that time passed by. Enough time passed that what they had in their lamp had gone out, and they just didn't have a reservoir to fill it back up again. We're living there today. Time is passing. And I understand, it's in my head, I understand the end is coming. I understand my end is coming, but it didn't come last week, and I really don't hardly expect it to come next week. And yet I hear these little news stories of people that slipped out into eternity. I understand that those families that were killed there and going into Mexico from the United States were going to a wedding. They had expectations of what's going to be in just a few hours, and their life was snuffed out, gone out into eternity. And do I just live my life in fear that I'm liable to go out into eternity? No. What I need to do is just prepare and then enjoy life. But to be able to prepare, I'm going to have to do what I've seen here in Deuteronomy. I need to take some scriptures, and I need to store them away to where I think about them often. It's not that I just, okay, 6 months from now, if there's another meeting, I'll remember some of those scriptures if they'll talk about them. No, what I'd like to do is tomorrow, I'd like for them to come back to my mind and just be a reminder. Hey, Dan, remember, eternity is slipping closer and closer. So some of the scriptures that I would like to store away in my heart, we've talked about them some, but I'd like for them to be a reminder to me, is Hebrews 9:27. I just need to remember this. I know it already, but I need to do what these verses are saying. Maybe I need to write it on the doorpost, not literally, but in my mental, I need to have it right there that I'm passing by often. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You know, we know that that's true. I know that everyone that has ever lived, there's hardly anybody much over 100 years old, but they've gone out into eternity. All of those in the past. So this has happened for years and generations. And now my time is coming. And I need to remember this. Dan, I got an appointment. Don't know when it is. It may be soon. It may be long. Dan, write this verse down on a doorpost of your mind here. It's appointed unto men once to die. And Dan, after that, it's going to be the judgment. Another verse I would like to have stored away that just quickly comes to my mind is Ecclesiastes 12:13. I need to have those to where I don't have to go look in the Bible to find them, but that they would just quickly come to my mind. God's going to bring every work into judgment. I need to fear God and keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. And He's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I need to remember, you know what? All of the actions of my life are being recorded. God has got a list of them all, whether it's good or whether it's evil. You know what? Our sister gave us a testimony tonight that she was able to get that list of evil erased. You know what? He said that He's willing to put that as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember it no more. Folks, I want to tell you something. I am so thankful for salvation. What if He brings it back up to us? Hey, I want to remind you of who you used to be. No, He doesn't do it. It's as if it has never happened. God, when He forgives, He erases that, and we start with a fresh, clean slate. And I am so thankful for that. But I do need to remember that tomorrow my actions are going to be recorded. And I will meet those actions one day in the judgment. So I want this verse to come up before me. There's another one that I need to have that just, I don't have to go to the verse. I need to be able to have it come quickly to me. And that's Revelation 20. I need to have this picture in my mind, and I need to have it refresh itself often. And that is 20:11. Because I tell you, we're living in a time where the world does not act as if there is a God. They're making their own decisions. They're going their own way. But I need to remember this verse. I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And this next one says there's going to be some books open, and we're going to be judged according to our works. So you know what? If I would have those stored away, like He said for them to do in Deuteronomy, the next time a temptation would want to come to me, I would have some things to come up. Wait a minute. This temptation is going to have a high price tag. You remember the verse that says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, He's going to have to reap for that. Some of that reaping is in this life. But you know what the worst of all is? If I don't reap in this life and all the reaping comes in eternity. So I need to be able to have these things as a refresher to my mind. Because I tell you what, for all of us here tonight, we have a desire to make heaven. But Satan is not through with any of us. As I look back over the history, and as I look back in our songbook, I look at men that had a close walk with God. And I keep on bringing, I want this also to come up into my mind. Anytime you look in the songbook, sometimes look at who wrote the songs. D.O. Teasley, a man that walked so close to God. We've been talking about eternity this week. And you know what? My knowledge of eternity is just faith in what the Bible says about it. But it's almost like he got some pictures of eternity. If you ever look at song number 409, the name of it is Eternity. And it is about him standing in the entryway of a cemetery, looking out over all those gravestones, and his mind starts, this song starts developing. I stood at the time-beaten portals right here at this cemetery where time ends and eternity begins for this soul. So serious, you think, with the close walk that he had with God then, he would never fall away. And yet he did fall away. There's something else I want to remember. Should I ever fall, Lord, help me to get right back up again, take care of it, and keep on going. Because here's what the devil wants to do. It's say, you know what? Don't get up again. You cannot do it. Let it go. But what I want to do is when these other verses come up into my mind and say, eternity is out ahead. It's heaven or hell for me. Should I fail, Lord, help me to jump right back up again, correct it, and say whatever I got to do, I'm going to make heaven my home. And one other one is the one maybe we've even used several services, 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person should I be? How should I be living tomorrow if I really expect the end to come? So I want to be able to do what Deuteronomy has said, and I want to do it here in 2019, and in the years out ahead. I want to store some things away in my heart, and you know, for me to be able to do that, it seems like for me, I've got just so much room to store things away. You know what? I can spend time with the news and what's happening with Trump and all these other things. And they're taking up some mental capacity. They're taking up some space of my time for thinking. And I cannot say it's a sin to do that. But I tell you what, it sounds pretty frivolous when I start thinking of eternity. And I will tell you, there have been times before, I remember on an election day, went up into election night, and they're trying to figure out who's going to be the president. It's the time when they had all the little ballots, all the chads started falling out of them because they were counted so many times, and there were days, weeks later that we still didn't know who was going to be the president. And I remember that night I decided I'm going to stay up until I know who's the president. 4 o'clock in the morning or something, I got a busting headache and I still don't know. Nobody knew the next day either. And I thought, no, wait a minute. Why couldn't I have just gone on the bed and say, somebody tell me in the morning what it is? But you know what? I had that night, my whole thought process was on this thing. And for us to be able to take a look at things, we know the ones that are sinful, that I need to keep my mind off of those things. When the devil should present one of them, I quickly want to discard it. But there's legal things that can take up my mind. And as the sister was saying tonight, you know, unforgiveness is one of them. I could lose my soul over something that someone did to me, and I could not let it go. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. Because you know what? All of us still got some living yet to do. We got some time out ahead of us, and the devil's got a plan. Let's don't let anything trip us up. Whatever is out there, Lord, help me to compare it with eternity and say, I will not take the risk for my soul with this one. What I'd like to look at this evening is a verse over in Micah, the 6th chapter. Because I've got a question tonight. What does the Lord require of me in 2019? What's he looking for? And I was looking at this in Micah 6 and starting in the 6th verse. The 6th and 7th verse. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I looked at those two verses. Got a question here. What does the Lord require? What's the Lord looking for? Is there some kind of a big offering that I can give to the Lord that would make him happy? He would be satisfied now with me. And it made me think over in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Solomon has just finished the temple, and he is going to offer sacrifices now to God. And it says in 1 Kings 8 and 5 that as he offered these sacrifices, he said he offered sheep and oxen that could not be told for number. There were, in the Chronicles, it told about there were thousands of each of them offered at this time. Solomon is telling the Lord how great God is, and I want to be able to offer some sacrifices to him. And there was also Solomon's prayer. You remember when Solomon started praying? He said, "Oh Lord, there's none like thee. I built this temple here, but Lord, will God dwell in something like this? The heavens cannot contain him." Solomon had a picture of who God was, and he was humbled before him. He was offering those sacrifices. Do you know what? Solomon himself, the wisest man that ever lived, still had some years to live out ahead of him. And there's a verse that I want us to look at in Ezekiel. Because you would think that as close as Solomon walked to God, he would have been a favorite of God's. But there's a verse over here in Ezekiel 18 and 24 that I always want to keep in my mind. When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Shall he live? If his name is Solomon, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. This is the God of heaven saying, you know what? Your past experience with me last year does not qualify for you for any special benefits this year, except you continue to follow close with me. When Solomon offered this temple to God, offered his sacrifices, he was walking very close to God, and God accepted him. I was thinking about another man. In 1 Samuel, in the 15th chapter, Samuel tells Saul, God has got a job for you to do. I want you to go down and destroy all of the Amalekites. Don't spare anything. You remember the story. Saul went down and he almost did exactly what God wanted. But there's something that's a danger to us, and that's human wisdom. I can hear what God said to me, but I also have my mental ability to calculate some things. And as he looked on some of those animals that were perfect for being able to be sacrificed, they would qualify back here in Israel, they would qualify for sacrificing. And remember the scripture that tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. It's a promise that he's made. But what I'm going to have to do is don't lean to my own understanding. And when Samuel met up with Saul, Saul says, I have done what God wanted me to do. And Samuel says, well, I'm hearing some sheep and some oxen making some noise. What is that? And he told him then, he said, Saul, when you were little, in your own eyes, God made you king. When I realized, you remember when he was appointed to be king, they couldn't even find him. He was so embarrassed and all that they had to go find him. He ran and hid. Says, when you were little in your own eyes, God would have been able to use you. And then he said, there's something that God sees more valuable than a sacrifice, and that is obedience. Says, to obey is better than sacrifice. All of those thousands of animals that Solomon offered to the Lord, when I read 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, I don't see God say, Solomon, you've done wrong here, but I tell you, you offered so many sacrifices, I'm going to let that help you out some. It was never mentioned. Now Solomon has sinned, and he's fallen away from God's approval. Solomon in Proverbs gave his son some good advice. He was telling him the things to do in his life that would bring God's approval on him. And one of those was in Proverbs 4:23. Son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep this process where last night we're talking about thoughts. There's thoughts that are presented. They go down to my heart where my desires are now processed. I've taken this thought now, and I'm about to take action. It happened with Eve. She had a thought presented by Satan. That thought she entertained long enough that she looked at that tree different than she did when God told her, don't touch it lest you die. Now she saw that it even looked good. It was a tree. It was pleasant to the eye. It was a tree that was desired to make one wise. Now it had gone from her thought process down to her heart, and it's about to come to an action when she ate of the fruit. Well, with this one, Solomon is telling his son, son, keep your heart with all diligence, because there's going to be some things start coming out that's going to show if you have kept it with all diligence or not. There is a verse that would have been a warning to Solomon had it been back then. It's a warning to us today. It's in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. At the time when I feel like, you know what, I am walking very close to God. Nothing can stop me now. Take heed lest he fall. Because when we read 1 Kings 11, you know, it was just three chapters before when Solomon had God's approval on his life. It was just a little bit before when the Queen of Sheba came and saw how Solomon went up and worshiped God, what reverence he used when he worshiped God. And now Solomon has fallen. And he fell with rules having been given to him. Don't take up with these women from idolatrous worship. They're going to turn your heart away from God. How is it that the wisest man that ever lived could have let that scripture slip by him and he falls? But I was looking at this. Even when he fell, I would love to have seen a prayer of repentance like his father David had done. You know, David fell also. David could have, when Nathan the prophet came to him, David could have just continued on. He could have had Nathan put to death. But instead, he stopped, he turned around, he repented, and we get to read of his prayer of repentance. We don't ever read that of Solomon's. Solomon could have repented the same way. When God came to him in 1 Kings 11 and told him, I'm angry with you, you know, Solomon could have fell on his face and said, Lord, it just has slipped up on me. I have allowed these things, but I will make a change. But instead, it did not happen. There's a verse that I'd like us to look at. It's in 1 Peter. Because, you know, Solomon walked very close to God. God visited him one time, and he said, whatever you want, you just tell me, and I'll give it to you. That's walking pretty close to God. There's a relationship there that God understands what kind of thing Solomon is going to be looking for. But here in 1 Peter 1 and 17, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What that tells me is, you know what, God did not give Solomon a break. God required the same thing of Solomon that he required of David, same thing that he requires of us. It's obedience. The scripture tells us in Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord is going to make it. If I want to make heaven my home, he tells me what I'm going to have to do. It's he that doeth the will of the Father. I need to be able to keep that in my mind. I want to do the will of the Father. There's another verse, Luke 6 and 46, because there were a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord. In fact, the scripture says there will be a lot of people at the end that say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many things? He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know what? 2019, I want to be careful that I'm doing the things that he says. But then as I look again at Micah, it's going to take more than just a sacrifice of my material goods. You know, I wonder what was the young man thinking would be given to him as a requirement. When he came to Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing can I do that I might inherit eternal life? I wonder what he expected the answer to be. You know, maybe, okay, if you'll do some more for the needy or whatever. But when he heard what it was, because Jesus could read the heart, said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Well, I look at this one. It's going to take more than just a sacrifice. God's looking for something else. And I look here in Micah in the 6th and in the 8th verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly. You know, this gets down to just our everyday living. Justly. I was reading about it today. To give to everyone their due. What is fair for everyone? You know, it's been a long time since I hear about the golden rule. You know, we used to hear about it often. Used to hear about it in school when I was in school. The golden rule is very important. Do unto others just like you would have them to do to you. You know how different that would be for our world today, our nation today, if every person's action was, I will only do to him what I would desire for him to do back to me. That scripture is Matthew 7 and 12. As you would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them. For me, as I'm speeding toward eternity, I want to make sure I do justly. Some of you may remember the tract that we used to get from Monarch. We would see it. It showed a picture on the front of a set of those old scales, like you can put fruit or meat in or something. And it shows the grocer, maybe it was meat that was in it. It shows the grocer standing there and he's got his finger over on one side pushing down on it. I want to add to this thing and make a little more money. And you think, well, that's bad. Except that then you see the lady there that's buying it. She's got her finger on the other side pushing up on it. She wants the scale to run a little bit less. And it gave a message just in the picture before you ever read the tract. He showed the old man what is good. What doth the Lord require but to do justly? There was a verse over in Proverbs. Because you know what? God knows it all. This one in Proverbs 16 and 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. You know, I was reading about that this morning. It says that people would carry around, you know, they didn't have scales that they could carry, so there was this way, here is a weight that is exact. It has been checked, it is accurate. This weighs this many ounces or whatever they used. God has got a perfect set of scales. He knows everything. In my dealings with others, you know, I need to remember, I'm headed toward eternity. You know, sometimes I can spend a lot of time with a desire to get a good deal. I thought about a verse in Proverbs 20 and 14. Have you ever seen this happen? It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. You know, you ever have something you're trying to sell, and they go by looking at every little dent on this thing and telling you about it, yep, that's going to knock some money off. Well, by the time they get through, you think, I'm not even sure I could sell this thing. And then they offer you a low, low dollar. And you think, boy, you know what, I'll probably not get anything more than that anyhow. Look at all the stuff he found wrong on it. And you sell it. And later you find out he goes to somebody and said, boy, I stole that thing from him. I got it at such a low price, and he didn't mention any of the things that he had told you that was wrong with it. You know, for us, as a Christian, I would like for the world to be able to know, you know what, this guy will treat you fair. This guy will use a just weight in his dealings with you. And as I'm doing my dealings, just remember, I'm headed for eternity. And I've got this great white throne in my mind of where I'm going to meet God in the judgment. And he's recording all of my deeds. It does not matter if it's my taxes to the government, whatever it is. Lord, I do not want to stand before you on the judgment day and have anything come up that I should have cleared throughout my life. You know, there's a scripture that says, what a carefulness it wrought in you. That verse would apply if I can get a picture in my mind of eternity and hold it there from now till the day I enter it. Okay, another part of that Micah 6 and 8 was love mercy. You know what? I love mercy. I love it when it's extended to me. I love it when God has throughout my life shown mercy to me. Part of that mercy, there's a verse over here. You know, I was talking earlier. Should we fall, don't stay down. Get up. Go again because eternity's out ahead. But this verse in 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, this is mercy here. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Should there be failure in my life between now and the day I step out into eternity, let me get up, dust myself off, repent, do whatever I've got to do. Because here's what the devil wants, is to tell you there's no use. Just let it go. Because when I talked about D.O. Teasley a while ago, sometime when you get a chance in our book, just take a look at how many songs he wrote. And then the testimony from himself was, when he at his funeral, he said, I do not want the name of God mentioned at my funeral. You know, when he fell, he could have gotten up, but he was a minister. And he had written some great songs. And you know what? The devil would probably want to tell him, you shouldn't even show your face again. Let's don't let anything stop us. If I've got to correct anything, God, I'm headed for eternity. And because I've got it on the gates of my thoughts, on the post of my thoughts, they're just there. They keep reminding me. What I'd like for it to do is, before I even would fall, when the temptation comes to me, here's this scripture that tells me, you want to measure this against eternity? What would it profit if a man would gain the whole world or just any other thing but then lose his soul? It wouldn't be worth it. So I was thinking of this in mercy. I love it when it's extended to me. There was a man one day that loved it when it was extended to him. His name was Jonah. You know, when Jonah found himself in the belly of the fish, he was calling out to God for mercy. Lord, I need you. Gonna pay my vows if you'll help me out. And God helped him out. And he went on to Nineveh, and he had only a short message that he was to give. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's not much of a message to have to remember. And he told that message. And what happened was, you would think the people would laugh at him like no doubt they laughed at Jonah with his at Noah with his message. But somehow the message that Jonah gave, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, those people took it to heart. And they got serious about it. And the king heard about it. You know, the king could have had Jonah put to death. But instead, something happened in the king's heart to where he said, for the next 3 days, no person, no beast, eat or drink. We're going to fast. We're going to call on God. Peradventure, maybe, he would have mercy on us. And the Lord had mercy on them. What a testimony right there. What an opportunity for Jonah to have been in on. If he would have, with his message, said, this will happen in 40 days. I know the God that I serve. But I also know that he's also a merciful God. Because just a few days ago, I was in the belly of a great fish, and I begged him for mercy, and he had mercy on me. So folks, what I would like to do, he could have said this to him. Folks, what I'd like for you to do is call on God. It's possible that he could change his mind if you would repent. God did change his mind. You would think Jonah would be so happy. I am so happy. But in that fourth chapter of Jonah, the book of Jonah, it says he was very angry. Now wait a minute. Those people were spared and he was angry. And when God came to him, he said, why are you angry? He said, I knew who you were, God. God, I knew who you were before I ever came. I knew that you were a merciful God. Now, you know what? Just a few days before, he had appreciated that mercy. But now he is not appreciating mercy when it's been extended to someone else. It's a lesson for me. You know what? I am very happy when mercy comes to me. Lord, please help me in this day and time when I look around at others that need mercy extended to them. Help me to do what Jonah should have done and say, Lord, would you please extend that mercy to those around us? There was another account of this in Matthew in the 18th chapter of what happens when mercy is extended, but I failed to take it on and give it to someone else. In Matthew 18, we know this story, 18 and 23. Kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one brought to him which owed 10,000 talents. He wasn't going to be able to pay that amount, the servant wasn't. So he said, I tell you what, I'm going to sell your family, everything you have, and let payment be made. That's in the 25th verse. That 26th verse says, the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Lord, would you please have mercy on me? I can't pay it right now. But, you know, sometimes we just read this as a story. What if this were my family? What if I were in this place that I would not be able to make this payment? And my family is going to be sold. We live in America where we have rights. You can't do that. So I can't hardly imagine the picture of what we're reading here. But he could have lost everything he had. And he's begging for mercy. And not only does the Lord say, okay, I'll give you 10 years to pay it off, his master. But in the 27th verse, it says, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave the debt. That's great. That's a great story right there. But you know what? Time keeps on passing on. And now it comes time for mercy to be extended from him to a fellow man. It says the same servant went out, 28th verse, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. How long does it take us to forget the mercy that was extended to me? You know what? As I look out at eternity ahead, I need to also, something else I need to keep fresh on the post of my heart is that mercy was extended or I would never be saved myself. And I am so thankful for that mercy. And now when it needs to be extended to others, Lord, help me to quickly be willing to give it. There's a verse in Lamentations in the third chapter and in the 22nd verse. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So then I come down to one of the Beatitudes that says, blessed are the merciful. They'll obtain mercy. Folks, I'm going to need mercy given into my life. I need to show it to others around me. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with thy God. You know, to walk humbly with God, all I need to be able to do is see who He really is. The world around me will make it as if there's not even a God. I need to always, on the post of my mental thoughts, I need to keep in mind who God is. He is up in heaven, I'm down here on earth. He is high and lifted up, and I want to keep Him there. I was thinking about some verses. Isaiah 6 and 1. It says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you know what happened when I saw Him high and lifted up? Then I also saw who I was compared to Him. And it says, woe is me. I don't have anything special about myself when I see how great He is. And there's another verse that I want to look at in Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. I dwell also with him that is of a contrite and an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, it should be easy for me to live in humility. Do you know how many people, because I forget who I am compared to who God is, people can get lifted up in themselves? There was a verse that I'd like to look at in Genesis. A verse where God Himself is reminding us of who we are. Genesis 3 and 19. Where He's talking to Adam now, since the fall has happened. It says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Back to dust again. You know what I need to keep in my mind? Who I really am. I'm only here for a short amount of time. I'm headed for eternity. There's many people that are only looking at this life. Everything is about this life. And you know what? If we allow that to happen in our life, a lot of things are going to change about how we live. But when I view everything against eternity, now it all changes. When I view who I am against God, everything changes. Humility should come easily for us when we see who God is. Mercy should come easily for me to others when I see the mercy that has been extended to me. He has showed us what is good. What doth the Lord require? Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly before God. And I know that there are some people, they will say, okay, that verse right there is all that's required of me. No, that's just one of the things that He requires. But it is something He requires, and I want it to be in my life. And it will be easier for me to do this if I do what Deuteronomy said. Lord, help me to take some of these scriptures and store them in my heart to where they're easily brought back up again. I'm here for a very short time. I came from dust, and I'm going back to dust. I've got some plans for tomorrow, but my life is a vapor. I'm here for just a little bit of time, and then I'm gone out of here. Lord, help me to be able to keep these all in balance. I desire your prayers.